Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Shavuos Daf Mem. We begin 12 lines off the top of the Amud Tashma. We begin with a Braisa, which is going to serve as a support to Rav's Shita. You see, in yesterday's Daf, we concluded that according to Rav, unless specified otherwise, unless he actually specifies that he's asking back for his coins, we assume that Shnei Kesef just means value. That much, you know, material. Be it toothpicks, cotton balls, that have that value. Because in those days, when you spoke about Kesef, and you spoke about these, the Ma'a Kesef represented a certain amount, a certain quantity, a certain weight of that respective metal, which equaled a certain amount. So it represented value, shavius. That's Rav's opinion in the Mishnah, whereas Shmuel learns that his claim pertains to the metal, the precious metal aspect of that coin. So if it's Shnei Kesef, he's asking for silver. If it's gold, he's asking for gold. Right? Dafka. And this was really linked and an outcome of their machlokes in terms of the required amounts for the taina, for the kfira, for the claim, for the partial denial, which triggered that shavua, that oath of moed miktsas that one would make when he issues a partial admission to his opponent's claim. Okay? So, resulting from that original machlokes was born this difference in perspective in terms of how to learn the Mishnah. According to Rav, the claims are generally about shava, about shavius, about value. This much value. No, it's just this much value. Whereas according to Shmuel, it's dafka. It's specific to the type of metal that he's asking for. So according to Rav, once again, it's about shavius, unless he says clearly, I need my coin, my stamped coin back. So he's specifying that it's about currency. So then the claim pertains to currency. Toshma is a raya. Then in fact, that approach is correct. That he must specify that it's about currency. Dinar zahav, a gold dinar zahav, stamped, minted, with a form. Li biyadcha, I have in your possession. You owe me that type. No, it's only a silver coin, chayev. Then he's chayev because even though he's responding with a different type, and we learned yesterday that if it's a different type, apples and oranges, that's not considered moedev miktsas. But here, it's all one in the same family because a coin is a coin is a coin. If it's about currency, then whether it's gold, silver, it doesn't really matter. So if he asked him for a gold coin, he acknowledged a silver one, he's chayev. It's considered a moida b'miktzas. But that's only tamad amalei zahav zahuv. It's only because he added the word zahuv, which was an indication of currency. Hostam, apparently without that additional reference, shavak amalei. We assume he's speaking about value. That's a raya to Rav. Now the default position is value. Amar Ravashi? No, hachikamar, perhaps the brisa just means kolaymer dinah zahav. As long as you say dinar zov, it's as though you said zov. Ka'imer dinar zov, zov dami. So dinar zov is also a reference to currency. So it isn't necessarily a raya to Rav. But we have a raya. Tani Rabbi Chil is yud l'Rav. Here comes the open braisa, clearly supporting Rav. And this goes back to Rav's original statement. That the shvua of a b'idah b'miktsas is specific to a fellow who is still denying a very substantial amount. I admit, I acknowledge to a pruta, but I'm still in denial with respect to two kesef, two ma. That's the minimum amount required to constitute a kfiro for baidu miktsas. We have a brisa in support of that. Sala libiyatcha. Where's my sala? My sala has 4 dinarim, right? Ein chabiyadil is sala chaser base kesef. No, it's only a sala minus 2. Kesef, I'm still in denial about the rest. So it's a kfira on 2 kesef. Chayiv, of course, it's chayiv eshvo. Chaser ma apata. But if the fellow responds with an acknowledgement, Yeah, I took the, I borrowed the seller from you, but it wasn't really a seller. I already gave you back, you know, a ma, a small amount. So in this case, he's just denying a very minor amount. It doesn't qualify because it's not. The kfir doesn't consist of eshtei kesef denial. That's a raya to rav. Unlike Shmuel, who says, even if the denial amounts to merely a pruta, he's chayev ishvu. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Shmuel, Leisham. Our whole discussion with respect to the, you know, minimum amount for the claim to a kesef, etc., that's only when it's between Reuben and Shimon, a lender and a borrower. The lender is asking for his money, the leva is denying, partially admitting. Then we have all these halachas, that it has to be a minimum of two kesef, otherwise it doesn't qualify. Avol tanas malve. Ve'idos eidechot. Ve'ados eidechot. But there's another way to trigger a shvuah. When there's an eid echad, one witness testifying against you. So if the malva even has a minor claim, give me back a penny, a pruta, and the fellow denies it, the eid echad comes and sides with the malva. We learn from a pasuk, although an eid echad cannot bring about punishment or karbanis, but he could compel the defendant to swear to defend his position. So in this case, even if it's a minor claim, afilu letanoi elva pruta, where's my pruta? And he's in denial, the aid testifies against him. Chayv, he has to swear. My time, a why? Because really an aid echad is sort of a flip side of two aidim. And we all know that two aidim can get up one day and obligate you to pay even a pruta if they should testify that you owe it. There's no minimum amount in that sense, right? The chsiv lo yakum aid echad b'ish l'chol avin l'chol chatos. An aid echad can't get up against a person to bring about punishment, to bring about, you know, karbanis. L'chol oven, l'chol chatos, then he can't do that. He doesn't have the power like two witnesses. Aval kambu l'shvuah, but he could get up and arrange a shvuah. V'tanei, we learned it at Braisa. Kol m'hokim sheshnayim m'chayv enoisim amin. Any situation where, if it were to be two eidim testifying, you would have to pay. And that could happen even by a pruta. Eidechad m'chayv shvuah. Likewise, correspondingly, an eid echad could trigger a shvuah instead of obligating you to pay, even if the claim amounts to merely a pruta. V'am Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. So, in the Mishnah we learned, it has to be apples to apples. Where's my apples? 10 of them? It's only 5. Okay, why did we make this? But where's my apples? Here are oranges. That's not mimin hataina. That's not going to obligate you, bring you to a shvuah. Here comes an interesting case. Let's say I asked you for two types of things and you responded with only one. So if you separate the types, in reality, you haven't really committed to a moedim mikzas process, because one type you're totally admitting and one type totally denying. That's one way to look at it. On the other hand, you can say, let's bundle together, let's combine both items that I'm asking for and consider it to be one claim. So in terms of the, you know, the personal aspect, what I'm asking you, what I'm demanding of you, it's like one thing. And since you have a partial acknowledgement to my claim, you are a moedim mikzas. There's going to be a big machlekes about this coming up. Okay, so here's the case. Tom and chitin usair. Where's my wheat and barley? Two different types, but it's one bundle claim. He says, sure, take your wheat, barley, nothing doing. That is considered Maidiba Mikzas, because he is acknowledging part of that broader claim. Chayv. Omalei Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, upon hearing Rabbi Nachman quoting Shmuel to this effect, says, great, well said, Yeshar, Yasher, like Yasher Koyach, your strength to be reinforced, it's a bracha. I second the halach. V'chein, in fact, V'chein Amar B'yechon. B'yechon also said the same thing. That Tana Echitin Rasoirin, V'hoidele B'yechon, Mehen is Chayv. It's called a Maidiba Mikzas. What about Rish Lakish's opinion? Rish Lakish was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon, but was a Bar Plukta. He would very often dispute Rabbi Yechon's Shita. What was his position in this halach? Mechlal de Polagil Rish Lakish, it would appear. Rabbi Yechon holds it this way. Apparently, Rabbi Yechon, is Rish Lakish disagreeing? That's a question, right? Question mark. Yes or no? So it wasn't really clear because Rish Lakish, when Rabbi Yitzchak was in the Beis Medrash, you know, after Rabbi Yechon finished the shir, Rabbi Yitzchak left the Beis Medrash, and we're not sure Rish Lakish held about this halacha. Did he agree? Did he disagree? Ikadam Rimisha Havashayle Vishasakle. Some explain this because Rish Lakish was sort of contemplating Rabbi Yechon's words. Misha Havashayle, he was waiting it out. Typically, he wouldn't jump up and respond right away. He would think it over and contemplate Vishasakle. In the meantime, he kept silent. Hence, his expression, his position was not yet expressed. In which case, Rabbi Yitzchak did not have any inkling in terms of his position. Some say Mishsa Havashasile. He was more drinking water. He was taking a drink after the shir. Rish Lakish was. In which case, he had no chance to respond as of yet. Vishasakle. In the meantime, he was sort of silent. In which case, we're not sure what he really held. Okay, in any case, Lim Sayale, perhaps we have a bright from a brisa to this point, that asking for two items and getting an acknowledgement for one is considered a partial admission on the totality of the claim, is a moedva mixas. Ta'anoi chitin, voidloi b'se'erin potter. Back to our Mishnah. Where's my wheat? Here's your barley. That's apples and oranges, your potter. Rav Gamliel says, even in this case, mechayev, he's chayev, it's called a moedav mixas. Okay, now time up. Let's go back to the Tanakhama, who says, wheat and barley, no connection. But that's only because he asked for wheat, and he's getting back barley. Tama the Tana chitin, voidlib sa'irin. Because he asked for chitin, and he admitted to sa'irin. It's not the same type, he's potter. However, if he were to have asked for both at once, seemingly it would work and would be considered a partial admission, even though he only admitted to one of those types. Hochitim resayrin. That was the claim. And what happened? Voidlo bechad memni responded to one. In the affirmative, he would be chayyim. That's a raya to Shmuel to Rabbi Yechonah. Loi, not necessarily. Hu adin afilu chitim resayrin ami potter, perhaps even in your case, where he claimed both, he would be potter. So why did the Mishnah focus on this very basic case? Asking for chitin, responding with sa'irim, which is a very elementary case. The Mishnah should have taught us a greater lesson, a bigger chiddush. That even there is potter in a case where he asked for two things. He asked for both, and he acknowledged one, it's still potter. If in fact it's potter. So why did the Mishnah focus on the basic case? To highlight Rav Gamliel's shita, even in that case, where it was chitin versus sa'irim, it still qualifies. Tashma is another attempt at a raya. Ta'anoi kelim karkois. Next part of the Mishnah. He asked for kelim and karkois. Where's my house and where's my car? As one claim. And the Mishnah will teach us that there's no shvua of moedav mikzas pertaining to a real estate claim. Okay, so here he asked for two things. The kakoyas do not qualify. Kalim do. And how did he respond? Hoidav kalim. He says, here, take the car. V'kafar b'kakoyas, no house. Or the opposite. Here's the house and no car. B'kakoyas, v'kafar b'kalim, he denied the kalim. In both cases, he is pot. Hoidav mikzas kakoyas. Likewise, if he admitted to part of the house, pot. However, Mikzas Kelim Chayev, part of the car, he would be Chayev. That's called the way to do Mikzas. Let's make an inference, a diuk. Time of the Kelim Kakos. The reason why, in most of these cases, there is no liability, there's no Shvuah, because there are karka, there's karka involved. The karka love, but Shvuah, there's no Shvuah on karka. However, if we were to substitute, replace the karka with a kli, and present the same type of equation. Meaning, instead of kelim and karkois, instead of a car and a house, he's asking for his two cars back. Ho kelim v'kelim. Two kelim. Dumyo the kelim karkois. In similar fashion to the case of the Mishnah, the kelim karkois. He bundled two types of items together. And his acknowledgement, his haidah, was only on one of the cars. He would be chayev, a shvua. So you see, that we look at the totality of the claim, and since part of it was admitted to, you're chayev. No, what then? Afilu kelim v'kelim nami pata. No, perhaps even in this case, where the claim encompassed two types of kelim, and the acknowledgement was only on one, he would still be pater, because the one that he acknowledged was a total acknowledgement. The other type was a total denial. V'adav tani kelim kakois. So why did the Mishnah have to focus on real estate with kelim if the same exemption would apply to two types of kelim? Well, there is a special point to discuss this halacha that karka is pater, and that Kamashwan, the point of the mission is to tell you the chihoid of mitzvahs kelim chayev af al karkois, to highlight the halacha that if you admit it to part of the kelim, so that triggers a shvua for the kelim. Once the shvua has been activated, chayev af al karkois, the shvua covers the karka as well, even though karka essentially is not a candidate for shvua. But once the shvua system has been activated, it's called zoikikin, you sort of attach, you combine, you stretch it to cover the karka as well. Once we're swearing, you cover it all. My Kamashman, what's the point of the Mishnah? Zoyki can teach us halacha of connection, of coverage over the karka. Tanina, we already have a Mishnah in Meseches Kedushim to this effect. Zoyki can is anachosim. Sheishlan achrais is a term for real estate. Those assets are covered by the shvul, the shavale. So why repeat the halacha twice? It's not a repetition. Ha'ikar. This is Meseches Shvuos. This is where we're discussing it. For real, this is the focal point of our Masechta. Hahi, the mentioning of the Aloch over there in Masechta's Kedushin is just, by the way, Agav, Groger, Naspa, it's by the way, since we discuss other Alochis of similar ilk, so we bring that in as well, but here is really, our Sugya is really the main place. Okay, let's just stop for a second. We discussed the case of Tan, Echitin, Visoern. Where's my wheat and barley? He's moida only on the wheat, denies the barley, according to Shmuel, and version A of Rabbi Yechanan, he is considered a moida b'miktsas, because we look at the totality of the claim, part of it was admitted to, part of it was denied, there is a shvua moida b'miktsas. Here comes another shita, a different version of Rabbi Yechanan himself, who says potter. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yechanan, tona echitin v'sa'ern, he asked for both, void l'bechzman, he agrees to one, he's potter. Because it's two different types. It's like two different claims. One I totally denied, one I totally admitted. There's no partial admission on either one. Ask the Gemara. But how does this fit with the previous discussion? When Shmuel presented the other opinion that he's chayiv, Rabbi Yitzchak confirmed it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan himself. V'cheinam Rabbi Yechanan. And here we say Rabbi Yechanan says, Patur? Yeah, there are two versions of Rabbi Yechanan. Amirai ninu, vali Rabbi Yechanan, two Amirayim, two Talmidim, with different versions of Rabbi Yechanan. Perhaps he changed his mind, different version of Rabbi Yechanan. And now we're going to seek to bring those quotes from our Mishnah, instead of bringing them as a raya, right, to the first shita, which said that you're chayev. Here we sort of switch tracks. We now hold that we're pater, and now we're going to bring those same quotes from the Mishnah, instead of a raya, rather as a kasha. But it's pretty much going to be the same, repetition of the same steps. Toshma, let's take a look at our Mishnah, where it says, Ta'an echitin v'hoidle b'sa'erin potter. Where's my wheat? Here's your barley, your potter. Because, different types. Still, Rav Gamliel says, you're chayiv, machayiv, even in this case. Let's make a diuk. Ta'ama the ta'an echitin v'hoidle b'sa'erin. It seems, the only reason why the Tanakhama says you're potter is because he asked for wheat, he got back barley. But perhaps if he would have combined and asked for both, and the Haidah applies to one type, Chayiv, he would be Chayiv. It's called a Maidu Mitzas. That's a Kasha on this Shita. No, perhaps even in that case, where the demand was on both, he still would be Potter. So why did Mishnah choose to speak about a simple case of asking for chitin, getting back to Erem, which is a very basic case, rather than discussing the more complex case and bringing out a chiddush that even there is pata, which is to bring out a Ramaliel shita, that even in this case where he asked for chitin and he responded with Erem, he's chayiv. But perhaps, even in your case, Tanakhama would say pata as well. Toshmai comes another right from the next part of the Mishnah, which involved the house and the car, to Ana Kalim Kakois. He asked for bulls. Void the kalim. He says, here's a kalim. The kafar b'kakois. And he denied owing the property. Or the other way, b'kakois. He admitted to the property. The kafar b'kalim. He denied the kalim. Potter, there's no shavua. Hoida b'mitzas karka, potter. Likewise, a partial admission on the property is potter. However, b'mitzas kalim chayv, a partial admission on the kalim is chayv. Tamid the kalim kakois. Apparently, the only reason why he's potter is because he combined real estate with the kli. The karka la bashvuhi, because karka cannot trigger a shvuah. But if he were to substitute property for another kli, and he asked him for two kalim at once, ho kalim v'kalim, which is a similar equation, dumya, the kalim kakois, and he admitted to one, denied the other, he would be chayiv. Because we look at the totality, the combined claim, which is two kalim, he responded to one, he acknowledged one, that's a mighty mixas. No! Perhaps, perhaps even in your case, where he claimed two types of things, and the acknowledgement was on one, he would still be potter because each one is dealt with separately. This is full denial, this is full admission. There's no partial admission here. And the point of mission is to teach us the hoida mixas kelim chayav avalakakoyz, that when he admitted to part of the kli, which triggers a shvua, now you can apply the shvua to the karka as well. Mike Mushman, what's your point? Zoikikin, that you stretch it. Tanina, we already learned. Zoikikin, we connect as a nechosim, sheish lanachrayis, all the properties, and we include it into the shvua, the shavalein. Why the repetition? Ha'ikar, this is the main place. Ha'i agav gur naspa, the other location and kedushin is just, you know, sort of a side point. Eisvei Rab Abba Mamamal Rochia Bar Abba. Here's a kash on the shita. That again, that when he was tayan chitim rasa'irin, and he responded with an acknowledgement on one, that's not called a partial acknowledgement, because each item is dealt with separately. Here's a kash from a braisa. Ta'anay shor, where's my bowl? V'thoid lo b'seh, here, take your sheep. Seh, where's my seh? V'thoid lo b'shor, here's your shor. That's apples and oranges, potter. But if he asked for two things at once, ta'anay b'shor v'seh, v'thoid lo y'en admitted to one of them, b'achad mem, he's chayiv. That's a raya. That it's called a Madhu Mixas. Omar Lehi responded, Hamani Rav Gamlieli. Oh, this Brisa is going like Rav Gamliel. It's a totally different Shita. And therefore he's Chayiv. Well, Rav Gamliel, if we're going like Rav Gamliel, who says that when you ask for apples, you get back oranges, that's called a Madhu Mixas because it's only admitting to part of the claim. We don't care if it's different materials. Right? So Aaron was worth less than Chitim. So then, in all cases, even the first case where he asked for the shor and he got back the seh, it would also be considered moed b'miktzas. And the Mishnah, the Brisa doesn't seem to say that. So you can't go with that approach. Elohamani admani. Rather, we're going like admoin, who holds that if I ask for chitim and you admit it to seirim, you're potter. But if I ask for chitim and seirim, it's like a single claim, and you acknowledge one, that's called the Moedim Mixas. Admoni, who tells us in our Mishnah that when we claim for containers filled with oil, and you responded with the containers, no oil, that's called the Moedim Mixas. Because the containers and the oil are considered one claim. So yeah, this price is going like that, Shita, but the prevalent opinion, the Chachamim, disagree with that. And I, Rav Chiya Bar Abba, is going like that, Shita, of the Rabbanon, that you're part of. Don't think I'm just shooing you away and you know, shifting the blame, so to speak. Oh, it's admin. No. Elo Talmud Aruchu. Rabbi Yechon had a clear tradition about this Mishnah. Hamani admani. And in fact, this Mishnah reflects the dinah, the Shita. this price, I mean, reflects the Shita of admin. And that explains why he's chayev. But according to the Shitas Chachamim, it won't be so. He would be potter. Okay, so let's just recap again. We have the standard Moedim Miktas. Where's my $100? I owe you 50. You're chayev ishvu. Right? If he totally denies the entire thing, he's potter. Where's my wheat? Here's your bali. Two different types. Apples and oranges. You're not chayv shvuah. According to Rav Gamliel, you are. Where's my wheat and my barley? Here, take your wheat. So we have one version of Rabbi Yechonah who says chayv, and so is Shita Shmuel. And the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, that is potter. But as we concluded, according to Admon, he would be chayiv. Amar Rav, Amar Shmuel. Tanei chit. Is another halacha. Where's my wheat? And the fellow jumps up and says, oh, hey, take your barley. Yeah, I owe you barley. V'kodam void lo b'sa'irin. So the question is, was he being honest? Was he being straightforward? In which case, he wouldn't be chayiv shvuah, meaning, since the claim was on a chita and the acknowledgement was on the barley, two different things, apples and oranges, right? And he's potter. But im kimarim, if we detect that in his demeanor, that he was trying to be a wise guy, he was trying to outsmart the plaintiff. He realized that if he lets the plaintiff continue and conclude his statement, his claim, he was going to claim both chitim and sa'irim. So he jumped the gun, and he quickly admitted to the sa'irim before Reuben got a chance to even mention the sa'irim. So he was just trying to play around, trying to outsmart him. He's trying to preempt the full presentation of the full claim, which would make him liable, and he's chayav. Im b'miskaven potter. But he was just innocently trying to respond to his claim. In response to, where's my wheat? Yeah, it's barley. You don't see him responding in haste, all excited and trying to outgun him. Right? So we assume that he wasn't trying to cut him off, wasn't expecting him to continue and say, where's my barley as well? So it was just an innocent response. Where's my wheat? Yes, I owe you the barley. So then he's potter because it's apples and oranges. V'amar v'amar Shmuel, Tana yishtei machten. Where's my two needles? V'hoid le'bachas men. Yeah, I owe you one. Chayev. He is chayev despite the fact that they're very insignificant in terms of value. They're way less than two kesef, which up until now was considered the minimum for a claim to trigger a shvuah of moedim mitzvahs. So why is this different? L'fichach yotzu kelo mashahein. Because the pasuk speaks about a fellow handing over kesef or kelim, and you know that triggered the whole process of moedim mitzvahs. The reason why the pasuk even mentions kelim is to teach you that if it's money, it has to be kesef, two silver, you know. But if it's kelim, even two needles suffice to trigger, you know, the whole to activate the process. Whatever they're worth. Omra Papa. Here's a halacha. Tanoi kelim upruta. Where are my needles? Two of them and a pruta. Void of a kelim. He says, sure, the needles are yours. Kafar upruta. Pruta, he denies. In this case, he is potter. Why? This is going like Rav. That in terms of denial that pertains to money, the denial has to be a substantive denial. At least two kesef. Here, he just denied a pruta, he's potter. Hoidev a pruta v'kafar b'kelim. Chayev. He says, yeah, here's the pruta. The kelim, the needles, nothing to him. In this case, he's chayev. As we said a minute ago in the name of Shmuel, that when it comes to items, comes to kelim, doesn't have to be something substantial. So chadak rav, the first halacha, since it's the kfira is below the minimum, it's just a pruto, he's potter, that's like rav, chadak shmuel. The second halacha, that a denial which pertains to kelim, can relate to even pins, and still be qualifying. Chadak rav, the first halacha is like rav damar, who says kfiras tanashtei kesef, that when it's a monetary denial, it has to consist of at least two kesef. Here it doesn't, just a pruta. V'chadak shmol, the second halacha, where he denied the pins, is going like shmol, the amar who just told us. Ta'an echitim sa'irim. Sorry, it's the halacha of shmol, which we learned earlier. The amar ta'an echitim sa'irim. V'hoid lo be'achas men chayev. Yeah, shmol halacha is that, so it's a moral, that when he asks for two things, We don't deem them separate claims. We bundle it up as one combined claim, so when he admitted to one of those items, it's a partial denial in terms of the totality of the full claim. And that's why when he asked him for the pins and the pruta, and he denied the pins and he acknowledged the pruta, it is considered moideh b'miktzas. Okay, the Mishnah continued, manali biyadcha, where is my $100? You never gave me $100. Ein lecha biyadi. So it's a full denial, he's patur from a shvur. Amar Rav Nachman, yeah, it's exempt from a shvur d'oraisa, from a moideh b'miktzas. But midrabbanan, we impose a shvur, it's called a shvur's heses, that we impose and we place on him. Rashi says heses is shesumu, or shesumu, placement, we place it on him. You can't just walk out denying it and just, you know, you have to make a shvur, shvur d'rabbanan. It's a lower level of a shvur, less severe than shvur d'oraisa, but it's still a shvur to substantiate your denial. Aram Nachman, umashbina shushuas eses, my timer. Based on what? Why are we doing this? Because we have strong reason to suspect something is off. Chazaka ein adam tevev elim king yeshle. Typically, a person would not wage a claim if it's not somewhat justified. The fact that there is a claim against you raises a red flag, you have to swear. Adrabba, if anything, the chazaka is in his favor as well. Chazaka ein adam mei is panav b'fnei malchavi. How would a person brazenly deny a lender? Right? So I did him a favor, lent him money. Interesting. Tosfos asks, and this logic would only apply to a borrower, but suppose he's a shomer who's doing the owner a favor by watching his thing. You know, then why would he hesitate to deny it? In any case, some Rishonim learned that, the Ran learns that even by a shomer, the point is that I can't bring myself to totally deny, flatly deny something that you know is false. You know I owe you the money, right? So if anything, there's a chazaka in my favor, in favor of the defendant. Says the Gemara, ishtamutu hu dekam ishtamutle. Just because a person is denying a claim doesn't mean, even if he's wrong, doesn't mean he's trying to steal it. Ishtamutu, he's just trying to delay. You know, he lost the money, he's trying to put it together. So his denial isn't really, doesn't provide any proof of innocence. So, in order to get to the bottom of the story, we compel you to swear. Right? He's just mishtam, he's trying to delay, he's trying to procrastinate. So he's thinking, ah, dahavali zuzi, until I scrape together some money, but apparently I pay him back. Teda, I'll prove to you that this logic does play itself out in these type of situations. Person denies a loan. Where's my money I lent you? Nothing doing. Kashal Aidis. He can still be used as an aid. He's not considered a liar. Rashi says, we don't say he's chashed on my money, he's suspect of stealing money. You know, before he swears, we're talking. Of course, if he swears, he's way off. But the very fact that he's giving the guy a hard time doesn't mean anything. He borrowed money, he spent it. He's having a hard time putting it together, so he's, you know, pushing him off in this, using this tactic. Because if he denies ever having taken an item for safekeeping, there's no excuse for that. They let them know that it's in your garage. What business do you have denying the fact that you have the car in your garage? Puzzle Aedis. Of course, he's considered a puzzle Aedis. He's a gun. What's the difference? Because my move, as we said, circumstances are tough. He's in a bind, financial pressure, and he's just trying to take his time until he gets puts together the money. So back to our story. So where's my money? Nothing doing. We impose a shvur. Why? Why would I claim something which... But why would you deny something? You're not really denying it. You're just, you know, stalling for a time. That's why we impose a shvur to get to the bottom of the story. Rav Chaviva Masna Sefer. So we have one version of Rav Nachman that the Shavuos Heses was on the first part of the Mishnah, which entailed a full denial. However, Rav Chaviva applied the lesson to the next part of the Mishnah, Seifa. Where's my money? This was on Sunday. Where's my money? Amar lo, he says, yeah, I lent you money. Yeah, sure. He responds with a yes. Lamachar, Monday, meets him again. Amar lo, he says, can I have my $100 back? Neoli, he says, what are you talking about? I paid you last night. Satev loch. There's no way to disprove him. He's potter. But it's not done. Amar Rav Nachman, umashbim nois yeshvos heses, but he has to swear yeshvos heses to prove his innocence. Now, manda masnei resha, the one who applied the yeshvos heses to the first part of the Mishnah, where it was a flat-out denial, I lent you money, no you didn't. We impose a shvor to get to the bottom of the story. Koshkan Eskefer, certainly in the next part. In the case where on Sunday he acknowledged the loan, on Monday he claimed to have repaid it, so there's some basis for concern, because he clearly acknowledged that he borrowed the money. So here we have to, we have reason to suspect some foul play, and we obligate him to swear. Uman the masna seifa, but the one who said that the shvu applies to this case, that's where Rav Nachman said it on. Hachudi could draw the amina. Perhaps there's room for distinction between this case and a flat out denial, because in this case there's draw the amina. There's some basis for this monetary claim, because we certainly know a loan took place. He acknowledged that. Hence, we don't let him off the hook without swearing. Aval Hasamar in the first case. Where's my money? I lent you money. No, you didn't. The lack of the right of my mind, there's no basis for this financial claim at all. It's his word against his word. So perhaps in that case, Loi, he would not have to swear. Okay, let's briefly summarize today's daf. We discussed Shvuah D'Oraisa by the Miktsas. And we concluded the Shvuah D'Rabbanan, Shvuah Heses. Shvuah D'Oraisa by the Miktsas is where he is admitting partially to a claim waged against him. Koin to Shitas Rabbanon has to be the same min. Not so koin to Rabban Gamliel. What if he asks for both types and he responded with one? That's a machlekes amaroyim. And koin to Admon certainly is considered moedim mitzvahs. In the case of Koyver HaKoyel, we have a shvuos heses to Rabbanon. Certainly in a case where there is some indication of the fellow being chayev, and according to some, even when it's a flat-out denial, Ishvos Heses would still be applied, and the reason for that is Chazaka. Einam Adam Taveya Elam Kein Leisha. We assume there's some basis for this type of claim, which a person wouldn't typically wage, wouldn't present out of the blue. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha.